hoping that this is going to speak to two types of people, I suppose. One type of person, what I'm talking about, straight from the off, is dreams. I want this to speak to, whatever frame of mind you're in, whether you've got dreams laid on your heart and at the moment you're in a position where you're passionate and you're on fire and you feel that you can take over and do anything that you want, this is for you. But also, if you feel like you've had dreams and you're no longer going anywhere, this is also what I want you to hear as well. See, most people here would know me, but an in-depth maybe view of me as a teenager, I was probably extra confident, borderline, maybe arrogant with certain things, musically, etc. God's took me on a long journey of lessons and has brought me past that, fortunately. But as a teenager, I genuinely believed that I could do anything. I had, in my own life, I had sort of no, at the age of 15, there was no doubt in my mind. I didn't have doubts that I wasn't going to go down to the West End and be a professional musician. Like, it wasn't a doubt. I went and seen my careers advisor at school, and he was like, you need to think of what you want to do. And I said, well, I'm going to be a musician. He said, do you realise how hard that is? And I said, well, yeah, but I'm 15. I'm getting professional work now. Forget about you. I can be a musician. Anyway, I'm an engineer and I'm not a musician. So maybe my careers advisor was right, but I don't think so. I still reckon if I tried. It wasn't before. What he's referring to is my careers advisor tried to give me a job as an apprentice photocopying machine man. A lad that never got any C's in his exam results. GCSE's got about 15 A starter B's. Was offered a £6,000 a year job fixing photocopiers. If that's what you want to do, that's great, but maybe I'm a little bit too low, I don't know. No fit meters. Anyway, diverse. Sorry, that was my dad heckling from the front. And everything I was always going to be a professional sportsman but in my mind as a kid, I genuinely believed these. And as a teenager, I genuinely believed that I could do these things. And when I had my first encounter with God and with the Holy Spirit, I genuinely believed and I had a dream that I could take over and change the world. Genuinely believed that. Absolutely 100% didn't. I genuinely believed that God was going to use me to change the world, right? I had visions at the time, and those visions that I had at that time in my life and in that encounter have started to come to pass over the last few months. I've seen the visions that God gave me then come to pass. So something that God instilled in me at that time with those dreams, I remember going to my dad in his study when I was living at home at that point on fire saying, Dad, genuinely believe God's going to use me to change the world. And he said, well, why don't you just start with Wolverhampton? And was I offended? Blimey. I was, what are you putting me down for, Dad? I thought you was meant to build me up. I could change the world. I believe that. And you were saying, just start with Wolverhampton. What a put down. Just start with Wolverhampton. And I honestly was put out. Because I honestly believed that I could change the world. Now, things have happened now, and it was something that Alison said, and it was only something short, it wasn't even the gist of a message, that started to bring something home to me. And I went home that night after that Sunday and was talking to Esther, and I began to get quite upset, really, because I began to feel like, slowly, I no longer was that person. And although I may have been overconfident, I was no longer that person that genuinely believed God could use to fulfill these big dreams that he'd given me. I didn't no longer have that confidence. And we spoke about it. And since then, God's really been smacking me over the head constantly with this idea. Now, I was training in my house. It's a bit of a freak show come 8 o'clock because I'm outside on my bike, on my turbo training in all my gear. And Esther was in the front room doing Zumba on the Wii in all her gear. Right. And Esther, about 3 years ago, did a 5K road race. And she was given a T-shirt. And she's worn this T-shirt regularly for years. And as I was on my turbo trainer, this was the Monday after the Sunday, on the back, scrawled across, is Adidas, impossible is nothing. Right? And that was the first sign, and it's got my head ticking, right? And I'll tell you all the things that have happened. You know, Alison said she got talked through a billboard. I've got, I don't know how many billboards I've seen this week. Gary, on Sunday, lent me a DVD called Limitless. I was watching World's Strictest Parents, and they had to go to an English lesson, and they had to write an essay on what their dreams and aspirations were. I'll write these down. I was listening to Radio 1, they have a 10-minute takeover where everybody has to text in a song that they want to hear in 10 minutes, and they only get three songs on. And a track from 1993, Gabrielle, Dreams Come True, was put on. And, yeah, these could have all been coincidences, but I live my life. And in this moment when I felt God was talking to me about these, all of these things, every time I heard them, it just smacked me over the head and was just a constant, constant reminder, which is why I have to bring what I want to bring. What happens, I believe, is that I started to use a phrase in my life with Esther, with everything, and it was always, I'm just being realistic. And this attitude of I'm just being realistic with whatever I was going to do, to me, was a sensible decision to be realistic. And being realistic, you've got to take this in context of what we're talking about and what we do. You know, it was realistic for me if I wanted to get married, to get a job, to work hard, to get a house, etc. All those things were realistic. Now, they were good things to do, no problem with that at all. But what happens when we become realistic with ourselves is we begin to put our view and our limits and our mental limits on top of what we believe God can achieve through us. So if God says, I can use you to change the world, I genuinely believed that at the time. But then as soon as I became realistic and I went through things in life and things happened, and all of a sudden you realise that as a 17-year-old lad, you don't know everything and things are a bit more difficult than what you first realised, you begin to think, I need to be a bit realistic now. And you don't allow God to allow your life to be limitless because you decide to be realistic with the things that God's given you. I was having a conversation with my dad while I was away for a few days, and we were talking about different things, and I came out with a comment that I felt that musically God had probably used me as far as he was going to use me. That's what I felt. That wasn't a criticism of anybody. It wasn't a criticism of myself. It was just I felt that I was where I was at, where I was at. I didn't no longer had aspirations to want to be a professional musician or even get much music work. And I came up with this comment, and my dad wasn't impressed because his view on it was that I had limited now any options or any open doors that God may have put in front of me because I had decided realistically, this is as far as God's going to take me. Musically, I hear it, I am where I am. And I had decided to put that door closed, shut them down, put my limit on what I thought I could achieve, rather than whether I have dreams to be a musician, which I don't. But by shutting myself down and shutting that option down, I don't allow God to use me as far as he might want to use me. Because you don't know what's going to come around the corner. Me and my dad, I mean, I don't know what's happened to this, but it doesn't matter. Me and my dad was on a bike ride, and we ended up in Cannock Chase at the same time as a Christian musician was also in Cannock Chase, recording artist. And before I knew it, on my way home, he was texting me, asking me to come into the recording studio to record some stuff. That's sort of gone down a different avenue. But in a split second, I was just out on a bike ride, and God opened a door when I never expected the door to be opened. Middle of Cannock Chase. The timings for that to have been done right was unbelievable because we went down there by just a fluke just to see if the cafe was open, didn't we? And we bumped into him, this guy. And what I want everybody to sort of grasp is that we have to live a life that we no longer allow ourselves to be realistic with ourselves. As far as if you've got dreams or God's put dreams on your heart, don't allow yourself to let the situations and the problems that surround you to rob you, to take away from the dream that God's given you, or to limit you. Now, I know that there people now sitting there that have had big, big dreams. And they either haven't seen them come to fruition or they've just stopped working towards them. Now, when I was watching The World's Strictest Parent, this young girl said, "I don't have a dream, I'm not going to write about it." And their response to her was that that's crazy, you have to have a dream, is what she told her. She said, if you don't have a dream, what on earth are you going to work towards in life? That's a real blunt way of saying, it would be really blunt and it wouldn't say that, okay, as a Christian, you have to have a dream, otherwise what's the point? Because that's not what it's about. It's about a close relationship with God. But the idea is that if you need to have, I believe, something that you're working towards. You have to have something that you believe in your heart that is bigger and greater than where we are at the moment. Individually, as a church, it says without a vision the people will perish. And we hear that a lot, but it's true. Unless you've got a vision, and I want everybody to think and ask themselves now, what's their dream? What are you aiming for? What are you working towards that you're trying to achieve? What is bigger than where you are that you want to get to? Now, when you think of that and decide on that, okay, we may want to put small steps and think, well, if I can, you know, if I want to change the world, maybe Wolverhampton was a good idea to start first. Maybe he wasn't putting me down. Maybe he was just being sensible and being serious. Because if you've got to take over the world, you've got to do Wolverhampton as well, eh? Yeah, so you may as well start there. I mean, as I live here, it's easier for travelling. So I'm not meaning like that. I'm meaning an ultimate goal. In sport, we talk about an ultimate goal. And then we drop in loads of small goals. My ultimate goal would be to do an Ironman. But before I do an Ironman, I want to do an Olympic and I want to do a half Ironman. My mum's laughing at me. I want to do all these things. Now, the Ironman is the ultimate. If you were an Olympic athlete, the ultimate would be to win an Olympic gold. But you might think about winning the World Championships before you get there. Now, if you're ultimate dream that God's laid on your heart, because God lays dreams on our hearts. If we open our hearts to God, God's got something for us that's bigger than where we are. I don't believe that we can sit down and sit here tonight and not believe that God's not got something greater than where we are at. And for me, that is a massive comfort because I know that the future will always hold greater than today. If I aim towards God, if I seek, if I lay my heart down to God and surrender my life and don't allow myself to shut my own doors before they've even been opened to me, tomorrow is greater than today. And I mean that as tomorrow. Tomorrow has to be, I believe, greater than today. Whether that's we increase in our walk, whether that's we get a small victory. But what I want people to do is just to reignite that passion. You know, if you're where I was at when I was 17 and I genuinely believed that I could change the world, and I mean that, I so believed, hold on to that with everything that you've got and don't allow anybody or any circumstance to dictate to you that just because the world says you've got to find a job and get a house to get married, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, Esther. You know, for me, I believe that was the right thing. I believe that I made the right decision. I believe that because I believe that if I'd have continued with my attitude as it was, I probably maybe wouldn't be a musician here. I could be elsewhere. And I thank God so much that I am a musician here because playing here is not like playing anywhere else. I play in big theatres and it's just not the same. After 5 nights, you're fed up. And here, I could play here and worship God every single time. And I'm so thankful that I made the decisions that I made. But I want you, if you're in that place, and I believe that people here might be in that place, hold on to it. Don't stop because you think that, you know, it's unrealistic to think that a school could ring you tomorrow and give you a year's worth of work. Don't think that that's unrealistic because it's not, because God says you can do everything. It's not unrealistic. Don't let anybody tell you that. Okay? Don't let anybody say to you that Refresh isn't going to change Wolverhampton and Wentzfield because it can. It absolutely can. Because when God's involved, these things can absolutely happen. God can do everything with the power and the might of his name. And for people that maybe had dreams, had passions, but now is sitting here thinking, I'm not where I am when I came back from, I mean, I was away at like a week away. I'm not where I am when I came back from that conference and I'm on fire. And I had dreams at that conference, but now I'm not doing anything with them. I just urge and pray that you just, because after Alison had spoken, I went home. I'm still struggling now because I'm still not that same person that believes I can do anything with God. I'm still not the same person because it's hard. It's not easy to believe that God can do absolutely anything with me. It's not easy to believe that. When you come from, I used to sit in the men's meeting, right, and think, I mean, I was being 13, and thinking, do you know why everybody's got all these problems for? Because I couldn't understand why people had problems. I thought, I'm 13, I haven't got any problems. And at the time, my dad had all my problems. And I couldn't understand when people say, but no, because I've not been through a lot, admittedly. I mean, there's lots of people here who've been through far more than me, and I've had such a privileged upbringing and such a blessed young adult life. But I've been through my fair share, enough to be able to speak, I think. And I just pray and I urge with you that you just rekindle that and pray to God for that level of faith again. And I pray that you just can rise up and believe with all your heart and everything that is in you, that those dreams that God put in you at that time weren't for that time. They weren't for that time. They were for your life. And the same God that put those dreams in you still holds those dreams for you. If you believe that God said to you he was going to use you in a certain way and you're not feeling that at the moment, God hasn't changed. God's not moved away. Unfortunately, through the hard times in life, we tend to just slowly just drift back. And I think that's what happened to me, because I literally just all of a sudden realized, blimey, I'm not the same, that person. I don't hold the same strength of belief. There's a massive scale, isn't there? Massive scale. And, you know, and what makes me laugh is it says we only need the faith of the grain of a mustard seed. So, you know, on the scale of things, we don't need to have perceivably a great deal. That's maybe for another night. It's a massive subject. But when you can genuinely believe that God can do anything in you and can do anything through you, you know, going to work the next day isn't an issue. Because when all of a sudden you're messing around in the front of a back boiler and you ain't got a clue what you're doing, it sort of piles into insignificance when you think, well, in the scheme of life and in the scheme of things that I know God can do through me, who cares about a back boiler? You know, Rick? Except for I want to just walk out. I try and be. Forget it, love. Your eating now coming on. I'm off. Changing the world. One back boiler at a time. I know this sermon hasn't really been steeped in theology. I brought my Bible up with no scriptures to turn to. Just felt like the right thing to do. At least I'm honest. But it's true. I haven't got any scriptures to turn to. And I sat down yesterday thinking, I need some scriptures to turn to. It's funny when you think about putting a sermon together. These are the things that you think you should have. And I didn't, because I just wanted to write down and put down what was on my heart, because that's what I believe God was really talking to me about. And it's something that, you know, I think when you was praying before, you was aiming towards this when you're talking about, it's not circumstance. We allow circumstance to sort of dictate to us and put our limits in. We put our own limits in, you know. If you look at, we look at our area where we're trying to reach people, and we say this area is a good area. How on earth, realistically, can we reach these people? We've got nothing to give them. And we make that decision. God never made that decision. We decide that this area is a difficult area. You know, if we ask God the same question, I don't think he would reply with the same answer. Sorry. You know? And so I just want and pray, and I want you guys to pray and think hard into your life. What are your dreams? What are those God-given dreams that God put into your hearts? What are the visions that God has given you that you genuinely believe God had for you? And I pray and I hope there's people here that were at the place that I was at, because, man, that is a good place. You know, at that time in my life, I just went mad for God. I just read as much as I could. I wouldn't put my Bible down. I scribbled notes everywhere. I did Bible studies with people from Northern Ireland. We emailed across. We decided that we'd study Joshua, and we wrote our own sort of essay on chapter 1 and emailed it over, and she'd email her mine. And we got Dave in Canada. He was emailing his over, and we was comparing notes. And that was my attitude and my frame of mind, because God was there. God was raw. At that point, I was fresh. But I'd allowed circumstance to come and change that. And I pray that there's somebody with that in that frame. And I pray you don't let that go. Please do not let that go. Because if you let it go, you're only going to have to go back and find it again. And I pray if you've lost that, or if you feel that you don't have a dream, that God can just rekindle that passion and that flame. And just realize what you've got when God is in control. I know that there's a lot more to this. I understand that. It's about relationship. It's hard. People go through things. People have problems. People have to come through things and overcome things. And have that. Some people may feel like they need their life and all their pieces of their life putting back together again. But we've got great leadership. We've got great people in this church that we will do that. If you feel that you're in a place where you need help to get back to that place, speak to the leadership, speak to the pastor, please. Because if nobody knows, you're just going to continue that way. It might be hard to recognize. And it really upset me. Genuinely upset me to think that I had moved on and lost that passion. But I pray that you'll just think over the next few days about the dreams that God's put in your life and start thinking about achieving those dreams. And start thinking about how you can allow your God to open your heart to start achieving those dreams again and realize that passion. I'm just going to pray. If we could all just bow our heads and pray. And if you're in a place where you just maybe had big dreams, or you had what you may have thought were little dreams, but I'm telling you they're big dreams. Because anything with God is big. I just want you to pray in your own hearts and just think hard and just connect with God and think, Lord, I just pray that tonight the passion and the fire that you once put in people's lives, Lord, that will just be rekindled. And I just pray that those dreams that you set in motion, Lord, will just come to pass, and that people will just feel your strength and your guidance as they go through life. And as they come up against circumstance, Lord, I pray that you'll just be able to put that circumstance into insignificance when we can understand and realize the amount of power and authority and strength that we hold when we pray and we allow you to be in control, Lord. And I pray for people that may not feel like they have dreams. Lord, I pray that they're just on a road to discovering their dreams, Lord, because you have a dream for every single one of us. And I just pray with all my heart that we can just come together as a body of Christ to try and achieve dreams together, see one another's dreams accomplished, see our lives changed, see our church changed, see the world changed. If that is the dream that God has put within our hearts, Lord, I pray that we don't allow ourselves to become complacent and realistic and decide that we will decide where the limits are, God. We'll decide how far this dream's going to go or how far it can go because I've got X, Y, and Z to do tomorrow. Lord, I just pray that as people we can just rekindle that fire and that passion and the awesomeness of knowing how close you are.
This message was brought to you by WCC Productions. Thank you for listening.